thank you for joining us as we discover nothing but the truth with David Johnston.
The Bible is clear about every subject. No matter what the issue is, this is where to find the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We learned some time ago that we need to think right about every subject that touches our life. And today, our subject is the question, what's wrong with alcohol? Or what does the Bible say about alcohol? So the Bible is clear about everything, and it is clear about alcohol. Let's see what the Scripture says about alcohol. Number one, it says right off the bat, wine is a mocker, something that people think will be a blessing. The Scripture says will turn around and make fun of you. It says strong drink is raging. That is, it's outrageous in its effect. And then it says, look here, whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You know, if alcohol came in a pill, it would be called a tranquilizer. It would be available only by prescription. The prescription bottle would bear warning labels, causes drowsiness. Do not take this drug while operating machinery. Do not use this drug if you are pregnant. You'd be giving only a small amount at a time. You would be cautioned to watch for potentially serious side effects and advised to discontinue its use if you experienced any. Your dosage would be carefully monitored and you would be watched for signs of abuse or addiction. You see, somehow a sales job has been given to us and made something acceptable that the Scriptures declare causes tremendous problems. What is wrong with alcohol? Now, let's take a look, because the answer is right here in this first sentence of the next scripture. It causes us to err. Look at this scripture. They have erred through wine, and through strong drink are they gone out of the way. Remember, Proverbs teaches there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Through strong drink they turn out of the way. And how bad it is that even the priests and the prophet err through strong drink. There is religious deception about alcohol today. And we'll say this probably later on, but let me put it in here now. Alcohol was never designed by God or chosen by Jesus to represent His blood that was shed for us on Calvary. He chose instead the fruit of the vine. And yet, even priests today have helped us err, well-meaning men. But we've erred because we have not known that the Scriptures teach us that we err through strong drink. It says, look at this next part, they are swallowed up of wine. It says they are out of the way through strong drink. Look at the effects in the next line of this Scripture. They err in their vision. Look at this. They err in their vision. They can't see life. They can't see things properly. It affects perspective. And then, in closing, this verse says, they stumble in judgment. That is, their decision-making ability becomes impaired. Now, that's just for openers. What we want to do today is spend a few moments and cover a few points on how does alcohol cause us to err. What's wrong with alcohol? It causes us to err. But how does it do that? So let's learn, and again, I hope that you're taking really good notes and you'll have this material to hand on to someone else. In fact, I hope you'll use this tape to spread it to as many people as possible. Scripture says that alcohol brings condemnation for violating Scripture, which condemns intoxicating drink. Again, let's look at what the Scripture says about this. It says, don't even look. Don't even look on the wine. That's pretty severe. Most people talk about, do you believe in moderation, or are you allowed to get drunk, or moderation, or abstinence? This scripture says, don't even look on the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Because here's why, at the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. It has such devastating consequences that God has put condemnation on it. And so we want to avoid alcohol because it brings that condemnation. Secondly, alcohol lowers our moral standards, our inhibitions to moral standards. In fact, look at the scripture says, thine eyes shall behold strange women. What happens when you're under the influence of alcohol? The inhibitions, and they call it relaxation. Some places they promote wine and alcohol. They call it liquid courage. Sometimes it's called social lubricant. It makes it easier to talk to people. Well, the fact is that those things may be true, but what's really happening is that our inhibitions are lowered, especially when it comes to vital moral standards. Alcohol causes a man to look at a woman that and think thoughts that should never occur to him. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and look at this, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. So that's another reason why alcohol causes us to err. And number three, alcohol causes to err because it leads other people to lower their standards and experience judgment as well. In fact, the warning of Scripture is here. Whoa, can I suggest that you do a Bible study on this word, whoa, and check through the pages of the Bible and note all the things upon which God says, whoa, because it has amazing importance to us. Now this one says, woe unto him that gives his neighbor drink, that puts the bottle to him and makes him drunk also. Look at why. That thou mayest look on their nakedness. Alcohol is used to lower our standards in order, and other people's standards, in order to get them to do what they otherwise would not do. Now, I do want to stop here for a moment and talk about this thing called standards. Standards are very important. The scriptures say that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard. When there's a chance of evil coming at us, the solution is to have a standard that turns back the evil. That's why the standard that you adopt regarding alcohol is so critically important. Watch here. It removes a standard which could spare your sons and daughters from wicked and destructive associations, relationships. Because if you hold the right standard about alcohol, you will prevent them from being destroyed. In fact, they're going to follow your example probably more than any other thing. Story is told of a teenager who, a group of them, got involved in drinking alcohol and ended up in a car accident and lives were lost. And the father of one of the dead teenagers, so angry, he said, if I could get my hands on that man who gave them the alcohol, I would. In order to relax himself, he went to his liquor closet to get a drink. And when he opened the closet, the cupboard, his alcohol was gone. He was the one that provided the alcohol. If we do not have the right standards as adults, our teenagers and our children will follow our wrong example and fall into associations with those others who have the same drinking standard. And destructive things will happen that otherwise should not. Look at the scripture. Woe unto them. Here's another one. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. And look what happens. They justify the wicked reward. Now look at this phrase. And they take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Whenever we remove the standard, we cause the righteousness of others to be taken away from them, and especially will it affect our sons and our daughters. And then, drinking alcohol places your approval on a product which is bringing death and destruction to millions of people. Look at this. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is outrageous. And whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The drinking of alcohol puts our approval on a product that is bringing destruction to millions. Over 20,000 accidental deaths per year are related to alcohol. And that's not counting vehicle-related accidents. Over 16,000 deaths in auto crashes are alcohol-related. That's a death every 15 minutes. That's 99 people a day. That's 692 people a week. That's the equivalent of two jumbo jets going down every week in America. Now, if a jumbo jet goes down in America, the news will carry it for days and even sometimes weeks because so many people lost their lives. And yet alcohol in these United States of America causes the death of the equivalent of two jumbo jet crashes every single week. Alcohol is implicated in 65% of all murders, 88% of all knifings, 65% of all spousal abuse and batteries, 55% of all violent child abuse is directly traced to alcohol. In fact, there are medical consequences. When we take alcohol, we are promoting a product that causes liver cancer and breast cancer, skin cancer, leading cause of suicide, causes heart disease, liver diseases. It's certainly related to sexually transmitted diseases. And in fact, alcohol causes fetal alcohol syndrome, which is the largest single cause of mental retardation among babies. They're born because of alcohol consumed by the parents. It is the leading cause of death in 16-year-olds. It causes brain damage. In fact, we now have what's called CT scans, and we can literally, scientifically measure the damage to the brain of those who consume alcohol. College students in America spend $5.5 billion every year consuming alcohol. That's 430 million gallons a year by our college students. That's enough to fill an Olympic-sized pool in every college and university campus in the United States of America. This is a nation that spends over $100 billion a year in alcohol. Well, some people have said to me, alcohol is a disease. It's a sickness. And I say that if it's a disease or sickness, and I've heard others say this as well, it's the only disease we spend billions of dollars trying to get people to take every year. Why does alcohol cause us to err? Because it displaces the genuine exhilaration which God gives. Imagine that. You see, well, look at the scripture here. Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but look at this. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Alcohol is the world's substitute for the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is able to flow through your life, there is a jubilation and a rejoicing and an excitement that comes out of the center of your being. And the problem with alcohol is it is designed to take the place of that which really comes from the Holy Spirit. The verse after this is kind of interesting because when you get filled with the Spirit, here are some of the signs, by the way, of being filled with the Spirit. You start talking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And the man who's had too much to drink, often is found speaking to himself, murmuring. Oh, I tell you something, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, have the genuine thing. You'll be murmuring scriptures and songs and hymns, and you'll be talking to yourself. They may wonder what's wrong with you. But it won't be because of some synthetic replacement of God's Holy Spirit. It's just that you'll be so full of Him. So caught up with the Lord and Savior that you'll find yourself singing. And look at this, making up melodies in your heart unto the Lord. So alcohol causes the error because it displaces the exhilaration that comes from the Holy Spirit. And then alcohol brings physical damage to the one who drinks it and also to their unborn children. Look at this. All these truths are found in Scripture. They have stricken me. This is right after the 34th verse that talks about alcohol. They have stricken me, thou shalt say, and yet I wasn't sick. They have beaten me, and I didn't feel it. And when I wake, I still go after it again. You see, there is a beating that's going on through alcohol. The body, the physical body, the mind, the emotions are being damaged. They have stricken me, and yet I wasn't really sick. And yet, look at this, when I awake, I still go looking for it again. What's the matter with this picture? It's because alcohol has caused us to go astray. And then alcohol leads to an addiction and bondage which violates scriptural freedom. The scripture says that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. One of the great things about being a Christian is the freedom that we have been given. Not the right to do what we want to do, but the power to do what we ought to do. You see, freedom isn't for the train to get off the tracks and go where it wants to go. It will lose its freedom. Freedom for the train is having the power to go down the tracks. The laws of God in the Scripture. Freedom is not the right to break these, because then you lose your freedom, like the train off the tracks. Freedom is having the power to fulfill all the laws of God. That's real freedom. The problem today is that not everybody that's in prison is behind cold steel bars. There are so many people that carry their bars with them down the street. They're prisoned. They're walking the street, but they are bound. Alcohol leads to one of those kind of bondages. Look at the scripture with me. All things are lawful. It may not be against the law. It may not be against the law, but it's not expedient. It's not appropriate. It's not efficient. It's not effective. It's not what I should do. It may not be against the law. It may be lawful for me to consume alcohol. But here's the reason. Paul said, I will not, look at this, not be brought under the power of anything else. Because alcohol causes us to lose the freedom. There are so many people that tip the intemperate bottle to the lips thinking that this is going to, man, I'm 18 now, I'm free to drink. And the fact is that the very thing in which they think they will find freedom, they find bondage. That's why we're admonished in the Scripture, in the book of Galatians. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. For brothers, you have been called unto liberty. Do not use your liberty for an excuse, but by love serve one another. And then alcohol causes weaker brothers to stumble. If in fact it were lawful for you, and if you could be a good Christian and consume alcohol, what about those other brothers who see you drinking alcohol and they drink and they become terribly addicted and fall and stumble because of it? That's another reason why Absolute abstinence from alcohol is a biblical policy. Look at the scriptures that prove this. It is good neither to drink, to eat flesh, now look this, nor drink wine, nor anything by which your brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. Let's look at another one. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Are we our brother's keeper? We certainly are. One of the reasons why we should not allow alcohol to lead us astray is because it may not lead us very far astray, but the people we lead astray by consuming alcohol may go so far astray, there may seem to be for them no recovery. Let's look at another scripture that indicates this. Whenever the Bible says take heed, it's a good time to take heed. Take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. In fact, whenever we sin in such a way as to cause a brother or sister to fall, I can't overemphasize how terrible and devastating it is to someone else. Look at this. It's true that when we cause someone to fall, children get hurt. So many people get hurt. But look at this. When you so sin against the brother, you're sinning against a brother by the bad example that causes him to fall, and you wound their weak conscience. Watch this. What we're really doing is we are sinning against Christ. I suspect if you're watching this tape that many of you really love the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why these scriptures come so lovingly to us to warn us. Because it is taught throughout scripture that how we treat others is how we treat Christ. Remember? He said, if you give a water to one of these, it's like you gave water to me. If you found someone hungry and you fed him, it's like you fed me. And the opposite of this is true. When we damage someone else with our, what we think is a liberty, we are sinning against Christ. There's a character quality that we don't hear much of, but it's called deference. D-E-F-E-R. Deference, to defer, is the root of it. It means deference is limiting my personal freedom in order not to offend those around me. And so deference is another good reason why we should abstain from alcohol. Then, lastly, alcohol causes heartlessness. That's how it causes us to err. Look at this scripture. There are two things that will destroy a person's heart. Whoredom and wine take away the heart. Let me stop here just for a moment before we conclude. The person who is involved in adultery and fornication destroys his heart. He gets to the place where he does heartless things. For example, if he's involved in adultery, he may divorce his wife, leave the children and the wife. That takes heartlessness. To desert your children, to desert the lady of your covenant before God, requires heartlessness. Whoredom takes away the heart. But not only does whoredom do that, but wine does it too. We become absolutely heartless and able to do things that otherwise we couldn't do because we've got such a big heart, such a loving heart. We've got heart. But wine takes away the heart. You know, I've asked myself the question, why is it that so many people defend the use of alcohol? Why is it that so many good people defend the use of alcohol? I think the answer is that behind their answer is a spirit. That's why they call, perhaps, alcohol, it's called spirits. Because evil spirits lurk unseen in the darkest places, sometimes in the brightest places, in the skies. And even priests and religious people defend what is bringing devastation to millions. I know when I was a young man, I went through this with my father, who was a pastor for 45 years. And we used to argue, oh, well, Dad, what's the Bible say about this and that? We used to argue about alcohol in the Bible. And it wasn't until I was in my 20s in college studying for the ministry, when I realized that in short months I would be leaving a college and having influence with people, directing people. I don't want to send them the wrong way. So I was looking for a good answer. And this is the answer that the Lord gave me. That which destroys another person is not worthy to be my friend. You see, because the main argument has always been, well, I'll just do a little bit. I won't get drunk. But that which destroys someone else is not worthy to be my friend. And that which enslaves another is not worthy to be my servant.
Our hope and prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through this teaching. Our mission is to edify, exhort, and disciple the body of Christ by teaching nothing but the truth from God's Word, the Holy Bible. For more information about Nothing But the Truth, or to view our teachings, please visit nothingbutthetruth.org.